On this month's show, we'll be following up on some past discussions like bugs and food that goes with certain events. As always, we'll talk about where we've eaten out and what we've eaten in, the new signature restaurant at Fairmont Olympic, interesting events, and James Beard news. You'll hear it all on the Seattle Dining Show.
Support for Seattle Dining and the Seattle Dining Show is provided in part by Esquin Wine and Spirits. Drop by and check out one of the widest inventories of wines from around the world, as well as local and international spirits, all procured by their expert staff. Is your wine collection ready for a new home? Esquin offers monthly wine store storage lockers in a temperature-controlled environment. Visit their website at madwine.com today.
Hi, this is Chef Taylor at T-Mobile Park. Welcome to the Seattle Dining Show.
Coming to you live at the Test Kitchen Studio high atop Queen Anne Hill, it is time for the Seattle Dining Show. Join us as we explore news about Northwest restaurants, take a look at upcoming events, discover new kitchen tips you can use at home, dive into great recipes, and much more. And now, here's your host, the senior editor, Connie Adams, and whoever else just happened to drop by today.
Welcome to our April show, number 2204. I'm Connie Adams, senior editor, and I'm here with Tom Marin, publisher and owner of Seattle Dining.
Howdy.
Ooh, you're in a casual kind of Western thing, not a hello, but a howdy.
Howdy.
Did you ever watch Howdy Doody as a child?
No, I was too young for that.
Oh, okay.
They wouldn't let me.
Who would name a young boy Doody anyway? Was that supposed to be funny, or... I never thought about it as a child.
Yeah, I was too busy learning how to duty.
To watch Howdy?
I had to do my duty, so I couldn't watch Howdy Doody.
Well, I like the tone we're setting because I think our monthly discussion here is going to be fun. I want to follow up on a couple of things. We talked about bugs and eating them last month.
It wasn't last month. It was like January.
Was it that long ago? Okay. I try to put these things out of my mind, eating bugs. But I suggested at the time that you give some bugs to your cat. Have you?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Because he has some digestive issues that he's got a super sensitive stomach.
Oh, okay.
If he wants his own bugs, he'll catch them and eat them himself.
That's true.
You know, he kind of picks and chooses what he wants to eat out of his bowl. And any snacks I give him, some he'll take, some he won't. So if he wants bugs, he can go get them himself.
Yeah. And also, sometimes he gets his own toys off the counter. He'll take lids off things and get toys out. So, you know, he can always get into those bags of bugs if he wants them.
Yeah. Maybe later when he gets a little more solid, I'll drop a little termite or a fly or a cockroach. I don't know, you know.
Give him a treat. He's watching us now. He's probably saying, don't talk about me. So the other question I had as a follow-up to that bug discussion is that insects are a necessary part of the world order. They're either food for something or they create something in flowers or they eat a smaller insect. So what if eating them became popular in a global way, not just in certain parts of the world? There are so many humans. What if we ate too many bugs? Would it put things out of balance?
No, because when we get to the point of popularity with bugs in the Western world, and remember, in places like Africa, they're already popular.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So they're already raising them. They have farm raising abilities to do that.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, in Africa, you just get out of your car and walk over to the termite mound and shovel up a bunch and stick it in a bag and go and dehydrate them.
Yeah.
But there's a guy in England, and he's farming a certain type of bug and then dehydrating it. And you really only want to eat them if they're dehydrated. You don't want to eat them.
You don't want sushi bugs?
I don't want them squishy in my mouth.
Or moving?
No. I don't want to eat them live, that's for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
But, yeah, when we reach the point of popularity – there's, you know, hey, we got all these like cloud farms out in Othello, Washington and stuff now. We could just build some bug farms out there too. There's plenty of land.
I don't know why we are not millionaires, honestly. Well, another follow-up, and I hate to just run these two together, but we talked about having Duke's Chowders out of the freezers at Whole Foods. They've they've packaged their chowders. Yeah. So recently we tried the Lobster Mobster, and I thought it was quite good.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
And so today when I was shopping up at Town and Country, I picked up a box of each one.
Oh, nice.
So we can just pick and choose as we go along. So I think, you know, you're going to be over here on the weekend some night, and I think we're going to get into some of that prime rib that we had left over from Christmas and do a Duke's chowder and really live it up.
Wow, that just sounds awful. I'll have to come over early. I bought a greeting card the other day, and it says on the outside, that is just a horrible idea. What time?
It said, that's a horrible idea, and then you open it up and said, what?
No, then it says, what time?
Oh, what time?
Like, it's such a bad idea, what time should I be there? That's how I'm feeling right now. That's just a horrible idea, Tom. What time should I be there?
Yeah.
The other thing we noticed, and I'm not sure it's true, you were emailing with somebody at Duke's about this. When we first tried them, we looked at the boxes, and it seemed like there were a lot of preservative kind of things in it.
That's why I bought the four boxes this time, because I want to look at the boxes closer. Yeah.
Because the Lobster Mobster really didn't have that in it.
No. Other than about two or three ingredients, most of those I would have in my kitchen, and I'm sure, you know. But there was a few ingredients on there that I just thought, I don't know if Bill Raniger actually has that in the Duke's kitchen or not, but yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know where they actually cook them at. And I remember, too, the first box we got, it was some company down in Renton that was putting it all together for them, and now it says it's a product of Duke's Restaurant. So that may have changed.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
All right, we'll get Bill on here to talk about soup.
Yeah. Where is that guy? The other thing I wanted to talk about, and this is where this idea came from, about what foods go with special events like the Super Bowl or Oscars. And the reason I'm quizzing you about this today is that the Oscars just happened. And before the Oscars, somebody said, we're looking at great food for the Oscars. And one of their big suggestions was chicken wings.
Yeah, everybody's got leftover chicken wings from the Super Bowl.
Is that what's happening?
So now they're trying to unload them and tell you it's a Oscars thing.
Chicken wings and Oscars, they're not glamorous. They're messy. I didn't understand it.
It's America's just getting lazy, and they're going for the food's for a crowd kind of thing, because everybody has their little Oscar party, you know, so they can watch the boxing match all together.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know. You know, we've had some nice Oscar parties, and we didn't have chicken wings.
I just did a lot of miscellaneous appetizers, mostly finger food. But
I would have Oscar Mayer wieners.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'd have steak Oscar.
And, you know, but now, of course, I think next year's Oscars, you're going to have to find food that goes with fighting or boxing or ultimate cage fighting or something.
When they open up the 2023 Oscars, it should be a boxing match with Will Smith and Chris Rock, and they're ready to duke it out.
Chris will be like, I have no interest in this. I have no interest in this. So here's my question for you. Do you have traditional favorites for events? And I'm not talking holidays, but like Flag Day or World Health Day, Administrative Professionals Day.
No, I don't. I mean, you know, if you said Cinco de Mayo, then I'll tell you nachos and margarita.
But that's really kind of a holiday. That's not an event.
Well, but nobody celebrates Flag Day as an event either.
How do you know? National Nurses Day? Do you have to wear scrubs or, you know?
Never celebrated that one either. Yeah.
National Employee Health and Fitness Day, the third Wednesday of every May.
Wow. Sounds like I should be switching calendars. I'm not getting you the cat calendar anymore. I'm getting you all of these special day calendars.
No, we'll forget we had this discussion, but I thought it would be fun to make up some things to eat on these things.
Okay, so what would you have for Administrative Professionals Day?
Let's see.
And don't say chicken wings.
Chicken wings, of course. No, it would have to be something really good like steak and lobster, because they put up with so much all year long.
Prime rib.
Flag Day. I mean, if Flag Day in the U.S., I think you got to go kind of 4th of July-ish. You know, I think you got to go all American.
So
hot
like
dogs.
So like a cake with red, white, and blue on it?
Yeah. Hot dogs, hamburgers.
Okay.
World Health Day, I think you got to go bugs.
So where have you been eating?
I have a couple things to talk about. I went to a Duke's wine tasting event. I'm not going to get into the details of it other than to say that I really enjoyed it and it was really low key. Sometimes, you know, I mean, in the past, before the pandemic, you'd go and it would be quite a deal with pairings and things like that. What they did was they had little stations around the room and they had, I think, five wines and they paired some things. Like if they had pork belly, they had a red wine with it. They started everybody off in the beginning as you walked in with a white wine, which was a Sauvignon Blanc, which I'm not usually crazy about and I liked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You're okay
with the domestic ones. You just don't like the New Zealand grassy ones.
Exactly. There were tables set out, you know, for eight people. And so people were just sharing tables. And then periodically, it's a family wine. It was a family winery. And there were two guys from the family. And they would just get up and talk. One particularly would talk about the wine. And then they would have Duke's catering chef come out who had done the food and talk about why she thought it was a good pairing. And then they just let everybody alone. And it turned out to be just a really casual, fun thing.
So
it was kind of, I think maybe pre-pandemic people would have thought, well, that wasn't much. And post-pandemic, it was like, how nice not to be beat over the head by a bunch of people and just get quick explanations. You kind of got to know the people from the winery a little bit. You got to meet the chef and then you got left alone.
Huh.
It was nice. I enjoyed it. So then the other night, and you guys watched Seattle Dining for this in probably April. Tom and I are going to go out and do a little nacho comparison. See where we find nachos we like.
It's coming in the April issue.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Because we want y'all to be ready for Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We are going to do that then. We went to El Borracho, and our surprise there, and this is just because we haven't been there for a while, but they've gone completely plant-based.
Yeah.
So they've got Impossible Beef, and we won't get into it all because you'll have to read the article. But that was interesting, and I thought I'd bring it up because, you know, we had no idea. They have opened in Tacoma, and they opened plant-based, mm-hmm. and there's a El Borracho downtown, and it swapped over to plant-based. We talked to the bartender, and he said Tacoma's just going great guns. Downtown's doing pretty well. And Ballard is not accepting the plant-based well.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, and then recently I met a friend over in Leavenworth for a couple days. So we ate out at several places. Crystal's, which been there, good God, 40 years or something. Visconti, we had appetizers and martinis. And then we went to Larch, which is the second restaurant for a chef whose name I'm not going to know now, Ben something. And their first is Wildflower, which we had talked about because we were over there and it was really good.
I want to go back to Wildflower.
Yeah, and I thought Larch was good too, although we only had a couple of appetizers. But it was octopus, which was very tender and very delicious, and some arancini with gorgonzola inside. And it was like a little saffron, I think. The rice was quite yellow.
Mm.
So all good. I would go back in a second. So
well, we've been traveling. So we don't have much to tell you about Seattle. You and I did a little junket up to La Conner. We sort of wanted to see all the tulips before they bloomed.
Yeah, we got there on daffodil.
We like the color green. So, so we went to the La Conner Seafood and Prime Rib House and had lunch, and we had prime rib dip for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good.
It was good.
I'd go back again.
Yeah.
You never know, you know, what places like that. But that place has obviously been there a while.
Yeah.
And they're doing a good job of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Service was okay. It was all good.
They were having a special event, a private event. People were bringing flowers in for tables and everything was under control.
Probably going to be going crazy if you try to go there between now and the 1st of May. But once those tulips die, go ahead and make a trip up there. Check it out.
Get up there.
Then I went to Spokane, And a friend of mine that I was with always likes to eat downtown at Luigi's. So we went over to Luigi's, and lo and behold, after 40 years, Luigi's has kicked the bucket.
Wow.
So we went across the street to my preferred Italian location called the Italian Kitchen, and we had dinner over there, and it was quite good. The problem was we were eating a little later, and I ate too much bread.
Oh.
So sadly for those two others that I was with, they got my leftovers for lunch the next day.
Oh.
So they were in good shape.
They were happy.
But I had a scampi. It was quite good.
Mm.
And the salads were real good. Obviously, the bread was good. You know, and we had bread and oil, so that was good. And then the next night, we went over to the Davenport Hotel and had dinner in the restaurant there.
What's that called?
Oh, it's something having to do with glass. It's like the stained glass or something like that. And I had the prime rib, and it was really disappointing. I asked for it medium rare, and it came out rare. It wasn't really a very good cut of meat at all. It's kind of like subgrade. But, you know, I didn't have to pay for it, so.
Nice.
And there wasn't enough to take away as a leftover or anything like that. Yeah. So. But that's where I've been eating.
Okay. Shall we go on, or do you want to take a quick break?
Let's talk about what we've been cooking at home, okay. And then maybe when we come back, we'll open up with wines in the news bite section.
Well, I made some barbecue chicken sandwiches, which was just something I kind of threw together. I just brined some chicken and roasted it, and then I used O Organics barbecue sauce, spicy, sweet and spicy, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So for a weeknight meal, it was tasty and very quick to do. Not difficult at all, and it was, you know, a nice meal.
It was good.
Yeah. Then I made a lamb burger with caramelized red onions the other night, and that was pretty good. What did you think of that?
I liked it. I thought it was – you did like – third-pound lamb patties, I thought they were a little bit big.
Yeah, they were too big.
But all the flavors were good. We got it from somewhere else, and then you converted it all to organic, and it was quite good.
Yeah, and the place I got it didn't give a lot of amounts, so I was kind of making stuff up.
Yeah.
But you know, we have a lamb burger on the site, and I think we've talked about it on the podcast before, and that was a solid – good lamb burger. So this was just another attempt, and it was a good version, too.
Yeah.
What about you? What have you been making?
Well, I'm on a waffle mission right now because I'm getting tired of pancakes. But, you know, the problem with waffles... So I got a really nice waffle maker. It's a Presto model.
Mm.
And you just flip it... you'd have to look at this online to see what I'm talking about, but it's sort of – it's on one side, and then you just grab a handle and flip it over to the other side.
It's like the old-time omelet makers where you put the omelet, cooked the eggs, and then closed it and flipped it over.
Yeah, except those were on an axis, and this is not on an axis.
Oh, okay.
So it's really – it stores really small, which is nice because I got too much junk in my kitchen anyways.
Yeah.
So
But how did it work?
Well, so I wrote my own recipe for waffles, and it wasn't very good. So then I got some birch benders, and I made some waffles out of their pancake waffle mix.
Mm.
And birch benders they're not USDA organic, but they're pretty clean with how they do their stuff.
I've never heard of them.
You can find them at PCC and. I've seen them in more and more grocery stores now.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, that one came out better. And the whole thing that I wanted to do was make the waffles and then freeze them and just use them when I want them.
Yeah.
Stick them in the toaster. And the birch benders came through the toaster pretty good.
Oh, good.
So I might work with that a little bit more, or I might go back and just get my recipe in better shape because my recipe is going to be all organic.
Yeah.
So, so that's what I know.
Okay.
Why don't you do a quick rundown of some of the wines you've been drinking?
Okay. Well, we like to do three wines each month, and we did a 2019 Deloche Chardonnay from Central Coast, California. It was $2 for $20 at BevMo. A light color. I thought it was kind of buttery. You thought it was kind of dry. Probably a little bit of both. Then we did a 2020 Mother's Choice Sonoma Organic Cab Sav, $14. Did you get that at Total Wine?
Yeah.
Okay. And we both liked that. It was mellow. It had deep fruit. We were real pleased with that organic. Then we did a 2019 G3, a Goose Ridge Cab Sav, dark red, fruit forward, pretty deep, $10.99 at QFC, estate grown, family owned. So we liked that. You thought it was pretty full-bodied, nice drinking wine, not a hint of goose.
Not a lick of goose in there.
I thought it was pretty mellow, dark fruit, and the label says toasted oak. I didn't really get so much of that, but if they say so. So that's kind of the wine scoop. You want to take a break, and when we come back, we'll look at the latest tidbits from the News Bites file.
That sounds good.
Support for Seattle Dining and the Seattle Dining Show is provided in part by
Pogacha Restaurant and Bar, located on Mercer Island. Locally owned and operated since 1997, Pogacha offers unmatched Northwest cuisine with an Adriatic flair. Quality food prepared simply, freshly, and with care means every visit is memorable. Come revel in their relaxed atmosphere while enjoying hand-selected fish, brine chicken, and scratch sauces. More information is available online at pogacha.com.
Hi, this is Andre from Walla Walla, and when I travel to Seattle, I love to dine at Rock Creek in Fremont.
Hi, this is Chef Sarah Lorenzen with Maslow's by Fair Start, and you're listening to the Seattle Dining Show.
We are back on the Seattle Dining Show. I'm Tom Marin, the publisher. I'm here with Connie Adams, the senior editor. And we are going to get into our News Bites discussion. There is so much going on.
Yeah, it's the world's opening up again. It's a nice feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
We add things all the time to our News Bites column at seattledining.com, so you can always go out and see what's happening. But I thought I would talk first about the positive. There's a lot of openings going on. Lark reopened in March after a two-year closure, and they have a menu that changes each month.
Same location.
Yep.
Wow, I paid rent all those months and never did anything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Macklemore, a Seattle boy, is backing an indoor golf center by Five Iron Golf. That opened late March.
Wait, are you talking about Macklemore the singer or John Macklemore?
No, the singer.
Because John Macklemore is a golfer dude, right?
I don't know him.
Or is he the tennis player?
That's not Macklemore. That's not the right name.
Oh.
McEnroe.
McEnroe. Okay.
Yeah. You get all your sports confused.
You know I'm the world's biggest sports fan, too.
If the person is not wearing a Seahawks jersey, you do not know what you're talking about. There is going to be a restaurant. There's a food menu. It says on the website, food menu coming soon. So we'll see.
So we got to do that. We got to go over to the Kraken and try out the restaurant over there, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Ethan Stoll opened Victory Burger in Spokane in March. Classic burgers and lots of games. So
lots of games. If you don't like the burgers, no, come for the burgers, stay for the games.
Then up the old Eviva Pizza Spot on top of Queen Anne is now Queen Cafe, C-A-P-H-E. I thought it was open, but it is not. I went by all the plastics off the windows and stuff, but it's
still a table saw sitting on the floor there.
Yeah,
or something
like that. They do have, they have painted the outside and it says banh mi and bubble tea, so that's what's coming. The living room is a self-serve tap room, which are always kind of fun. That's opening this summer in Tacoma's brewery blocks, along with a Rubenstein Bagels, which is going in there. And then Nirmal's, I was thinking you and I had gone there, but it wasn't you that I went there with in Pioneer Square. It's opening Cushy this month in Bellevue in the old California Pizza Kitchen. Remember where that was? 106th, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then Northwest Spirits and Distillers opened in Woodinville, and now they're planning a Vons, you know, the Vons in downtown Seattle.
Yeah, the best prime rib in the world.
Yeah,
that's what they used to have in a sign.
Yeah, I don't know if they have a sign on the new place. Maybe they still do, but they're opening in Woodinville sometime this year. No specifics.
I think they didn't put that sign up when they opened up further downtown. Well, they opened up down on First or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're down on First.
And that was back. They had that sign back when they were up at like—
Next to the hotel.
8th and Olive or something.
Yeah, they were next to the hotel.
And I shouldn't recall you talked to somebody at the newer location. They said, yeah, that was kind of embarrassing to have that up all the time. So we didn't put that up at the new one.
I don't remember that, but I wouldn't be surprised. We did a story on the George, which is the new signature restaurant at the Fairmont Olympic, and that is opening April 4th. So be ready for that. And then, interestingly, there's a place called, in Portland, Kelly's Olympian.
Yep,
it's been one there. Have you? It's one of the oldest bars. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, you went there to get your black and tans and
drink too much. They're probably hoping that for Tacoma as well. They're opening a second location on the ground floor of the Rhodes Center, which is at 950 Broadway in Tacoma. The owner is Jeff Mincheff, so that'll be he's broadening out here. And then Suite 410, which we have yet to visit, is back after a two-year pause. Seasonal cocktails and a new menu, and that's at 4th and Stewart in the Centennial Building. I could be wrong about this, but it was connected to Mayflower Hotel in Andaluca. It's right across the street.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure it's still theirs. It's just a separate little bar.
Huh.
And they do have food, but it's about six or seven items. Hmm. I think there's one flatbread and a prawn cocktail. Other than that, it's really snacky things.
Hmm.
So, but fun to try sometime. Now we'll go to the negative. We're going to go to the closures.
Places you can't try any longer.
I know. My sadness, Paragon Seattle on top of Queen Anne Hill will close after service on April 30th. Their lease is up for renewal, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done on the building. And I don't know if you remember this, but there used to be a bagel place that I really liked up on top of Queen Anne. And when they left, they said the same thing. The building needed so much work, and it wasn't being done.
I think that was a Noah's Bagels.
Was it Noah's? No, it was something Brothers.
Okay. Anyway.
Can't remember. Anyway, I don't know if it's the same property owner or what, but anyway, those buildings on that end of town are a little, end of the street are a little old, and people aren't keeping them up. So the owner feels the heart and soul of the Paragon is in the building, so moving doesn't feel right. She's working on some new concepts. She said she hopes to be on the hill still, but she doesn't live nearby, so we'll see how that pans out. And then Chef Stefan is partnering on a grab-and-go concept with some catering, so when we know more about that, we'll share that with you. And Marcus Charles closed Local 360 in February. I'm late on this one.
Oh.
I did not know it. I guess it was very quiet.
Hmm.
So.
And then, what is it? Eat Local closed both locations.
Yeah, Capitol Hill and Queen Anne are closed. You know, it was somebody bought them. A larger company bought them.
About 2 or 3 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, and now they're gone. So, and then back to the positive, we've got some purchases. E3, who just bought the Lobster Shop in Tacoma, have bought the Old Red Robin on Pier 55.
And boy, I bet that one needs some work, huh?
I'm wondering. And they're opening a restaurant, so Salt District, hopefully early May. I don't know how much... That's pretty close, so it may not be taking that much work. I don't know. And Anthony's bought the other little sibling of the Lobster Shop. They bought Boathouse 19, and now they've purchased Emery's on Silver Lake.
Yeah. I liked Emery's.
I did, too.
I don't know. We'll see how they do with it.
Yeah.
I don't go to Anthony's very often. I'm not,
you know,
not
I didn't,
really drawn into them.
I didn't used to like them, and then... For some reason, I went a couple times, and it was really good, and they have that blue plate special, and they were always putting these pea pods on it, and they did them so perfectly. They were crisp and tasty. Huh. So I have sort of a different opinion now, but we don't
have a
go.
Memory of going to the one up in Everett, and they didn't have any baked potatoes that night, and nobody like got up and went out and shopped for some baked potatoes right up the street where there's a grocery store.
I hate to tell you, I don't think that was Anthony's. It was the other one that's up there that we often confuse.
I don't know. I thought it was Anthony's.
I don't think it was. But that was a really weird thing for a Friday night at like 4:30. Oh, we're out of potatoes. Okay. Samara on Sunset Hill in Ballard. And we just had Chef Eric on the show.
Yeah.
So we're following up. He's started a chef's counter tasting menu. That started in March. It's 11 to 15 dishes. So they're, you know, bites basically. On Thursdays, a little bigger than bites, Thursdays with seatings at 5:15 and 7:30. But do bring your wallet because it's $150 per person. That does include tax and grat.
Bring your armored truck.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. Two people, $300.
Yeah.
That's a lot for some bites.
Yeah, well, 11 to 15 courses. And some of them some of them were bites when I looked at a sample menu, but some were, you know, a little more substantial. Yeah.
It's got to be good. You know it's got to be good.
Oh, yeah.
It's just...
And, you know, he does everything out of that wood-fired oven, so fireplace kind of thing. So you get to watch that. You're right at the counter. It would be very fun.
Well, that reminds me of what was the little Harvest Fine used to have, the counter, and you could watch them cook.
That's reopened, the counter part. They had, I mean, the restaurant was always open, almost always open.
Yeah.
But they didn't do counter seating for a while, but
that's
back
open.
On.
Okay. So you got an extra news bite out of that
one. Yeah, thanks, Tom. Spring Barrel wine tastings in Yakima Valley are happening throughout April. Check on the website that we've got in News Bites, and then you can go out and kind of plan your trip. They give you tips on how to do that. And then you want to plan ahead for Yakima Valley Cinco de Mayo. It's their largest cultural event of the year, which is really interesting. And this is the 34th year. So they have vendors, and this is my favorite part, dancing horses.
Yeah.
Live entertainment, traditional music, and great food. So that would be fun.
Yeah. I just think about the return of COVID.
Yeah.
I'd be watching out those numbers. I'd be watching those numbers before I made the trek out there.
Yeah. Well, and also I think most of this is outdoors, so you're going to have a little better time of it. But I'm with you. You don't know what's going to – all those – all those
variants.
Already
bumping into people that are sick all the time again.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, I was in Leavenworth, and I was walking down the street, and my phone buzzed, and I picked it up, and it said, you've just passed by. You have just had a brief encounter with someone who has COVID. It was like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So,
I know when I go to restaurants right now, I put the face mask on, even though that doesn't. Most of them don't require it. Some of them still do.
Yeah. I passed a store on Queen Anne the other day that said masks will be required through the end of March. I'm sure they're just sort of holding on to see what's going to happen. So another good one, I think, is that Vulcan Real Estate is updating Chandler's Cove. They're going to rename it Lake Union Piers, P-I-E-R-S. The buildings are being renovated. They're not building new ones. Longtime tenants like Daniels are staying. They're adding public seating areas and outdoor event spaces and offering new marine recreation and entertainment.
So you think we'll get a Hooters back?
I'm really hoping not. Really? And I don't want a Twin Peaks in there either. I don't care. That's another Hooters kind of thing.
Was there a Twin Peaks down there before?
No, it's down in Kent or something.
Oh.
I didn't mean to say Kent like it was a horrible place, just Twin Peaks.
Huh.
And then we talked about James Beard semifinalists. Now we're down to the finalists, and the only people from our areas that stuck in were Rachel Yang and Seif Churchy of Jewel for Outstanding Chef, Mutsuko Soma of Kamonege, I can't say that very well, for Best Chef Northwest and the Pacific, and the Walrus and the Carpenter for Outstanding Restaurants.
So watch this space.
Yeah, last three standing.
Well, when the awards are going to be in April, and so we'll have the answers on the May show?
I think so. I don't honestly know.
Yeah.
And my final little information thing is another sad one. There's a four-lease sign on the 5 spot at the top of the hill. Talk about somebody paying rent all this time.
At the top of Queen Anne Hill.
Queen Anne Hill, yeah. Peter Levy has been hanging in there all this time, and it finally just, I think he's done. So all hope is gone. I did email him, and I said, it looks final. And he goes, his answer was one word, yup. So.
Well, the legacy of the 5 spot will live, you know, on and on. And, hey, you never know. It might get some really good food in there.
Yeah, I'm hoping somebody will take that spot and do something great with it. It's just that was one of Chow Food's very, very early restaurants.
Yep. So. It was always fun because they did used to change the menu up every couple of months with another theme. Yeah. They had the Southwest.
Yeah. And New York City. And,
yeah.
And then they tied ropes to the front door.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, at election time, they'd have an elephant and a donkey. And each door, there's, you know, 2 front doors. And whichever one you opened would pull a leg on one of the things. And that made you a Republican or Democrat.
Yeah.
It was fun. They had a lot of fun.
All right. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we've got the calendar.
Support for Seattle Dining and the Seattle Dining Show is provided in part by...
The resort at Port Ludlow, nestled on the shores of Puget Sound, just an hour from Seattle. The resort at Port Ludlow offers 37 cozy rooms, each with a fireplace and jetted tub. And Fireside, a farm-to-table restaurant celebrating the bounty of local farms, artisan meats, and cheese. The dinner menu changes daily to reflect the best the region has to offer. Their 18-hole golf course is appreciated by players of all skill levels, with stunning views throughout. The 300-slip marina offers many amenities, along with kayak and watercraft rentals. Find more information online at PortLudlowResort.com.
Hi, this is Laura from Bothell, and one of my favorite restaurants in the Winnenville area is Purple Cafe.
Hi, this is Linda from Antolin Cellars in Yakima. You are listening to the Seattle Dining Show.
Are back on the April Seattle Dining Show, and you are here with Tom and Connie, and we're heading into the calendar section. You can always see what's up on the seattledining.com/calendar, so we update throughout the month, so there's always something new. What's going on?
What's going on? Starting with April 3rd, the Paella Sunday Supper at Hound and Bottle. Going to be $65 a person. Starts at 4:30 p.m. The paella includes chicken, prawns, clams, mussels, and fresh peppers.
You had to clear your throat for that one. Fresh peppers.
Reservations are required. This is going to be down in Bremerton, by the way. And then starting on April 3rd, running through the 16th, we've got Seattle Restaurant Week. And different prices going on this year. Might be 20, might be 25, might be 50, might be 65. Depends on where you go. Or maybe what you do is like you walk in the front door of any of the restaurants, you just spin a roulette wheel, and that determines how much you got to pay for your
meal. Or maybe
meal,
you can negotiate. Okay, it's 3 courses. I don't want to pay more than 45.
Yeah, that's all I can afford. cuisine and drink specials are no longer limited to coursed meals.
That's very new this year.
So more details if you look at our calendar and use the link to get over to where all that information's at, because we're not going to run down who's in it and what the food is.
It's a lot of people.
Be a long show if we did that. there will be a Jackson family wine dinner. Battle of the Valleys at Palisade. On April 7th, you got a call for reservations. There's going to be 4 specially curated wines from 2 valleys. Do we know what those valleys are?
One was Willamette, and I've forgotten the other one.
Okay.
It's online.
It's going to be a 5-course dinner, $125 a person. Well, you know, for Palisade, $125 a person, 5 courses and wines.
And 4 wines.
A pretty good deal.
Yeah.
They'll be featuring the Cambria Estate Winery and Sidiri. That's not one I'm familiar with.
Me neither.
Dishes like beet-cured miso deviled eggs, grilled salmon paella, herb-grilled lamb chops. Well, just take me straight to the lamb chops. So then we get into Easter on April 17th, and it's a long list and growing all the time. Go ahead and tell us what you got so far. Right.
We just pulled a few out to let you know kind of what's going on. Salty's is planning an all-day plated menu featuring favorites and holiday specials. They're offering seating from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Ray's Boathouse is serving a three-course brunch for 70 per person that does not include beverages, tax, and grat, alongside their regular dinner menu. And the full kids menu is available all day. And then Ray's Cafe is offering a grand holiday buffet from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. That's also 70 per person. It does include juice and sodas, but not tax and grat. Children 5 to 11 are just 35. The buffet includes appetizers, salads, entrees, desserts, traditional carving and shellfish action stations. They're doing breakfast items until 3 and then dinner items until 9. Water's Table at Hyatt Regency Lake Washington. We like that place, and what a view.
Yeah.
They're doing an Easter brunch with a variety of Benedicts, like classic, and then the smoked salmon and Dungeness crab. They're having hazelnut French toast, bottomless mimosas. Lots to
look. I couldn't do that anymore.
Well, you know what? Somebody at Paragon years ago, before Todd sold it, a waiter there told me that they had been shut down by the city and they couldn't do bottomless. But I've seen them everywhere even since then. Huh. So I don't know what that was about.
Maybe your first mimosa has champagne in it, and then all the other ones after that are non-alcoholic.
Yeah.
And that's how you do bottomless.
I have no idea, but they've got them.
Now, if it was dancing mimosas that were bottomless, yeah. Well, that'd be something.
Yeah. You could take them out to your dancing horses. So Lombardi's has three locations, Everett, Mill Creek, and Bellingham. They are all three offering brunch from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Only Everett will also be open for dinner. And they're doing Benedict's, cast iron skillets, a panini, pizza, and an Italian scramble.
Just had that for breakfast.
Oh. And the Capitol Grill is opening early. They are basically a dinner house, so it's just a few times a year, I think, that they open early on Easter and serving the full dinner menu as well as three brunch features. Lobster frittata, a 12-ounce bone-in dry-aged New York strip and eggs, 8-ounce center-cut filet mignon with white cheddar hash browns. And the brunch features are offered from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and then it just goes into the regular dinner menu.
Hmm.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, that's our calendar.
Yes, it is.
So we're going to take a little break. We have a special guest waiting in the wings, and we'll be right back.
Support for Seattle Dining and the Seattle Dining Show is provided in part by Salty Seafood Waterfront Restaurants. Visit them on the water at their Alki, Redondo, and Portland locations.
Hi, my name is Sally, and I live in Seattle. One of my favorite restaurants to eat is up in the Yakima Canyon, right on the beautiful Yakima River, and it's called the Canyon River Grill.
Hi, this is Andy Perdue with the Seattle Times, and you're listening to the Seattle Dining Show.
We are back on the Seattle Dining Show. I'm Tom Marin, the publisher. I'm here with Connie Adams, front of the house. And we have a very special guest in the studio today. Connie, tell us about our special guest.
I am happy to. Our special guest is Lindy Hensley from Bite Society. And this is really a fun thing you're doing. So I'm very excited to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Why don't you, first of all, tell people what Bite Society is?
So, essentially, we're a gift basket company, except that we make most of the products that go in our baskets, from a couple different cookie collections, snack mixes, Kennebec potato chips, candies, relishes, pickles. We have a really broad range of products that we're making.
Okay. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you, I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but When I was looking at the website, I wasn't sure if you had a pretty large staff doing this or if you bring people in like contractors and they make a certain thing, a certain product for you over and over.
We have a shockingly small staff. But we get a lot done, and we do bring in some special guest stars. We also work with some small makers in town. There's a great guy that I think some restaurateurs will probably know. His name's Casey Cooper. He's a baker who, back when in our catering days, you know, a little over 2 years ago, we used to do a ton of work with Casey. So we've been able to bring him back to make tea cakes for us.
Oh, nice.
There's a chocolatier, Andrea Terenzio, at Dolcetta that we work with. So it's a combination of us and some small local makers that we work with as well.
Okay. And then people can, you've got a number of gift baskets, and they can go out on the website, order online, and choose from a variety of things. And I think they can customize things too, can't they?
They can customize things by sending us an email or calling us. Because that is a nifty trick we have not quite worked out on our website. But we literally have, I don't know, I think currently we're showing about 45 baskets on our site.
So if you can't find something...
If you can't find something, call us.
And we will be shocked that you can't find something.
Yes.
Now, there's also something about having monthly subscriptions, which is interesting.
Yes, we started a monthly subscription. So a big part of Bite Society is our cookie collections. Okay. I brought you guys our orange fennel cookie today, and we put them in tins that are designed by tattoo artists. So it's a little bit like a tattoo sleeve, except it's filled with cookies.
The best kind of sleeve.
That is good. And so we have our cookies for the cool kids. So you get a different cookie every month in a tin. Okay. What drives us a lot is the idea of the perfect bite. So one of the things we wanted was our baskets to really hang together. So when you got it, you would say, ooh, interesting. I'm going to have this tea and this cookie or this relish on this cheese with this cracker. So we have a perfect bite subscription, and we will send you 3 to 4 products that we think really go well together.
Okay.
Monthly. And then when I get done with the cookies, I just pop the bottom out, and I can run that up on my arm, and people will think I have a tattoo.
Run it right up on your arm. You know what? People do all kinds of cool things with our tins when they're empty. Paintbrushes, somebody, glasses, earrings go in them, all kinds of things.
I'm thinking it might fit a child's arm better than yours, but you can try. Just on the lower arm, maybe. Now, there's also a la carte products.
Very much so. We have a food hall on our site, so... a lot of what happens frequently, like Christmas, a lot of baskets went out, tons and tons.
Oh, yeah.
And those people had certain items they loved, and they have come back to us to reorder. I brought you Bob's Nuts today, and Bob's Nuts have been very popular.
Wow. Is there a Bob, actually?
There is a Bob. Our chef is a very good-natured fellow named Bob Pennington, who endures a lot. Of jokes.
A lot of abusive jokes.
About his nuts, yes.
This is like that Saturday night skit with a PBS.
Do you have to give them back to him when you go back?
Bob gives his nuts freely.
You mentioned the tins, and I was interested in that. What made you decide to do tattoo artist designs?
You know, when we started this, we wanted, you know, the pandemic gave us the gift of time, right? So we're a shutdown catering company that is doing all the things that people do to figure out how to go forward. And we thought, you know what? Let's do something that might last.
Yeah.
We have all these recipes, things we love making. How do we make them into retail packaged products? And how do we turn this into something that we're sending to people?
Instead of them coming to us or getting together.
Right. Yeah. And so I was looking for uniquely American artwork and also trying to capture that spirit of the kitchen. So the fun, kitchens are fun.
Oh, yeah.
They are a little bit saucy and a whole lot of fun. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, the pastry crew with all their cupcakes tattooed on their arms and cooks with all kinds. You know, one of my favorites is a chef we had who someone asked him where the salmon came from, and he rolled up his sleeve and had a little map of Washington and pointed to Nea Bay and said, right here.
Oh, my God. And that's funny.
So we wanted to bring that spirit, you know, not only in the food, but in the packaging. And American Flesh Tattoo seemed very American and very kitchen.
And very unique. I mean, you're setting yourself apart, too. It's not typical.
I think so. You know, when I was a kid, I loved the prize and the Cracker Jacks, and I loved packaging. And so it was super important that this be fun and interesting.
Yeah. Well, and also you can repurpose things like, you know, in Tom's case, he'll wear that on his arm. But other, like, you have some felt baskets that things come through, and people use those again and again.
Well, Tom has a cat, and if I would have thought about it, I would have brought a basket, because that seems like the number one repurposed is a fun a cat bed. But I have a friend who's a CPA who said tax returns that are being mailed out fit beautifully in it. Knitting goes in them. We have all kinds. People use them for many things.
Oh, wow. That's fun. Gosh.
He would play with all the toys if he had toys in there.
Do you have any felt toys or tattoo toys?
We don't, but that coming soon.
Yeah,
it's
now.
It's a cat do-it-yourself tattoo kit included.
We do have tattoos that come with things, but I don't think that would work on a cat.
It's hard to get those on the fur.
Yes.
You also brought today for us a little card, and that's part of your handcrafted cards that you have too, that you can do you give out so people can give a basket to somebody else, or is it for you to just thank people or everything?
So when you pick something on our site, if you select it, it's a gift. A really large catalog of greeting cards that we've made will come up, because there's so much artwork.
Yeah.
And I think, if you ever gotten like a gift from somebody sent you via maybe a large Seattle place like Amazon, and you know, your message is printed on the receipt.
Yeah.
So we were going for something a little more personal than that. So you can pick a pretty unique card, and you put your message in, and we handwrite it.
Okay.
And I think it is a, you know, these are personal gifts. So I think that kind of touch is really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Do people have a hard time? Well, I should say, do people who buy things buy for people they know, or is it otherwise? Because sometimes, you know, when you're picking food, that's a very personal thing.
In our, there's both, right? Mm-hmm. Corporate gifting, there's a lot of times buying for somebody they don't really know. But I feel like there's enough variety in our gifts that there's something for everyone.
Yeah.
And there's, if it isn't your thing, there's something to share.
Yeah.
I think for the people who are buying something very personal, they have certain things. You know,
we have
a basket called Hot, 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 and it's every hot thing we make. And if somebody has a friend who loves hot stuff, that's a perfect gift.
Yeah. And they would love the variety in that, I'm sure. You know, you have mentioned your catering company, and I want to talk about that a little, because it was City Catering, and you had it for like 20 years.
20 years. And it's still there.
Oh, is it?
It's still around.
Oh, okay.
As much as anything in that world is around, it's still around.
Okay. So there is a way still for people to hit City Catering website. And
there is. We're primarily focused on Bite Society right now, because, as you guys know, that world, you know, we were 1,000, 2,000 person events, and that doesn't currently exist.
No.
So this is a good thing we've come up with.
Yeah, and fun.
Really,
I mean, you
fun.
Know, things have been hard, so having fun yourself and then giving fun to people seems like a really good thing right now. We need that release, and
it was perfect, actually. I think it was the greatest decision we ever made, was to decide to create something and not, you know, kind of jam what we did into this crazy world and come up with some kind of a not very successful survival tactic. So we decided to come up with something fun and new. And, you know, I haven't been a startup in a long time, so it was really fun to get that kind of energy back again.
Now, there was three of you, right?
Three of us.
Yeah.
Me, Katie Carroll, and Shayna Hicks, and we worked together at City Catering.
Okay.
And one of the wonderful things is, you know, at the end of March, the three of us chatted and said, what do we like? And we were like, we love food. We love working together. So how can we keep this going?
Yeah.
And we came up with Bite Society.
Creative. Wow. You actually came from Austin.
I did.
And you were actually working in bars and restaurants, not catering, and then you came here and catered. So did you work at catering companies here and then start your own, or did you just jump in?
I worked for a caterer here. I have okay. a dear friend who's still my friend and wisely works at Microsoft, who was a grad student who said, hey, while you're looking for a job, why don't you come do some catering gigs with me? Yeah. And I loved it.
Oh, okay.
It was just, I think there's probably something damaged from my childhood that makes me love the chaos of catering. And I absolutely loved it.
Wow. Now, what is so different about working in restaurants and catering from your perspective?
I think for me, I always think of catering as, okay, let's take a restaurant and put it with a moving company and then go to an unknown place with unknown
people,
everything, and let's see if we can make anything go right.
Yeah. And then when everything goes right.
Right.
Wow. I think, well, I know people have high expectations, but I'm sure some people are reasonable and think, how can they pull this off? And then when you do, it's such a great feeling.
It's a great feeling. And one of the things that carried over for us in Bite Society is it turns out caterers are excellent product creators.
Oh.
Because it's so collaborative with your clients, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. What do you want? What are you looking for this?
My boyfriend's from Chile. We're getting married. I need you to make this. Like, you're constantly creating new things.
Okay.
So turning that onto the product side, we were really good at it.
Yeah. That, you know, I wouldn't have thought that through, but it makes perfect sense.
I don't think I thought that through.
And apparently no one else is, because you guys are the only ones doing this right now.
Yeah, I think we just started doing it and realized, wait a minute, this is a lot like what we used to do every day.
Yeah. But a little bit different, a little bit, it makes more sense for the time we're in.
Well, we get to make more of it, right? We're not just doing one wedding with that menu. It's, you know, we're developing this cookie and making it, you know, the same way every time.
Yeah. Actually, a little consistency never hurts.
It's very good.
I wanted to talk so people know how to do it, how to order online from you.
I love you for that. HelloBiteSociety.com. Okay. And really easy. And I think we even have a little chat box that pops up. And
oh,
you can talk
really?
To us and ask us questions. You can call us. All those things.
Okay. Now, do you have somebody techie that works with you? Or did you have to find somebody who could set this online ordering and the website up and everything?
Katie's pretty techie.
Okay.
Somebody out there is laughing right now as I say that. And then we found some people to help us put it all together.
Okay. Because the chat box and everything is...
It's amazing what the kids can do with apps these days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Tom, of course, who's not speaking right now, but he is very techie. So he would, you know, understand all this. But it seems amazing to me.
Everyone needs a nerd in their life, and
exactly.
we have Katie.
Let me know when I could speak again.
Well, it is really your business, so you can jump in anytime you want. When someone orders, they can have it delivered, but they can also pick up from you guys.
They can. We're in South Lake Union at 509 Dexter Avenue North with a big old loading zone out front.
Good.
They can pull right up, come in. We even have some stuff on our shelves that people can look at and see.
Oh, good.
It's I wouldn't call it a store, but it's our commissary, and we welcome visitors.
Oh, good. That's kind of nice to know. If you're somebody's a little on the edge, is this something I want to do or what, they can come down and sort of check it out. And...
Yeah, they can pop in and see us packing up baskets right there in the front of the building.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Okay. And you will ship nationally, so if you've got friends in Denver or something, they can...
We ship nationally. We even ship internationally now.
Wow.
We've learned a lot about shipping.
Yeah, I'll bet.
One of the first, you know, when we opened and they came and picked up our first order, you know, we'd been caterers, so we're so used to loading trucks.
Yeah.
You know, the guy shows up and
you took stuff
and we're like starting to touch the boxes. And he was like, don't touch the boxes.
Oh my God.
These boxes are mine now. And I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. He's going to take them away.
He's going to do all the work.
He's not going to bring back any dirty dishes. It's just gone.
This is so wonderful.
Right.
Have you had trouble getting stuff anywhere internationally? Because this is a little aside, but I was going to send a cookbook to my brother in Australia. So this was several months ago, it was 5 months ago or something, but I packaged it up and took it down, and it's a paperback, it's not a heavy, heavy thing. It was going to cost me $150 because Australia is not accepting USPS. You have to send it through somebody special.
It's, you know, I think it's expensive, but we do it, and I think it works out incredibly well. I'm really surprised at how well, you know, sending things internationally goes, yeah. But pretty well, but you're right. It's not cheap.
Yeah, but of course, if somebody wants it that badly, they're the ones paying for it. So,
for some companies, it's very important for them to make their employees in other places feel included, and we're happy to help them do that.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's one of your goals, one of your mission statements.
It is.
What else should people know? What do you want them to know about Bite Society?
I think that we make really good food. Mm. These are recipes that we've had for a long time. You know, the pickles, the chips, we get that produce locally. Mm-hmm. And we, our ingredient lists are really clean. You know, they're real butter, real eggs. Everything is real. And the food is absolutely delicious. The feedback we're getting is so good. We got an email and a review from somebody who said, you know, I've been getting gift baskets for work for years and years, and I have enjoyed them, but I've never turned around and ordered individual products from the company that sent them, and I've now ordered twice from you.
Oh, that's really nice to know.
And you can get us. We're small. We want to help. So it's not like you're contacting some company that's not going to get back to you.
Yeah, or the person who doesn't really know what they're talking about, or, you know, they'll check on that for you.
I might not know what I'm talking about, but you would possibly get me.
It's almost best if you don't get me. Oh, gosh, Lindy, this was so fun. Thank you for being here. I can hardly wait to try these things.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. It was really nice to meet both of you. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you for coming out. All right, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we got some tips and tricks.
Support for Seattle Dining and the Seattle Dining Show is provided in part by
Thompson Seattle, named the number one hotel in the Pacific Northwest by Condé Nast. Located in Seattle across from the Pike Place Market, this contemporary urban landmark features gasp-inducing views of the Sound, elevated cuisine at Conversation, and more breathtaking views from their indoor-outdoor rooftop bar, The Nest. Find them online at thompsonhotels.com.
Hi, my name is Bridget. I live in Madison Valley. One of my favorite places to eat is the Surrogate Hostess, located at Aloha and 24th on Capitol Hill. The bacon is crisp, the cinnamon rolls are awesome, and the coffee is always hot. Kind of like me.
Hi, this is Chef Meredith Abbott from Sur La Table, and you are listening to the Seattle Dining Show.
We are back on the Seattle Dining Show. I want to thank Lindy Hensley from the Bite Society for dropping by and doing the interview with us. And thanks for leaving them little cookies and those nuts behind.
And I just want to say, the minute she was out the door, I was into those cookies. Orange fennel. They were absolutely delicious. And the nuts have like Indian spices on them. They're really good.
Yeah, they're good. They're good.
Yeah.
So anyways, we got some tips here. Connie, what do you got?
Well, you know, I was thinking the other day that you talk a lot about prepping food. So when you go to make a meal, you've got, you know, a lot of the building blocks in your meal already either frozen or, you know, ready to eat. And because of that, you end up eating better and a little healthier. So I was thinking that because we both work at home, and for me, I really like to go out for lunch. Usually I want something quick. I want that breaking up of my day, a little something different than staying home all day long. So I thought that I would start prepping my restaurant list. So what happens is I get hungry, and I'm hungry now, and then I can't think. And I end up at McDonald's or Taco Time too many times. So I'm going to prep a little list of where I can go for lunches that I have a little some healthier options.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm hungry and I need to go, I can pull my little list out and say, oh, I could go too.
Yeah.
You know, so just a thought, if you, you know, if you work in an office, you can do this too. You know, think about the places around your building that might be a little better option if you didn't bring your lunch. Something like that.
Yeah. Well, my tip this month is I want everybody to try out manifold cooking. So I want you to get like a baked potato, and I want you to attach that with a C-clamp or something to the exhaust manifold of your car, and drive around for like an hour, and then take the internal temperature on that and see how that baked potato's. Okay, I guess.
So let's talk about what you really are giving a tip on.
That was an April Fool's gag, wasn't it? All right. So, okay, this one's going to sound like an April Fool one, but it's really not. You know, I see people sitting at bars, and then when they want to go out and smoke, they put the coaster over the top of their drink glass. And I'm here to tell you, folks, that is probably one of the dirtiest things you can do to your body. You know, bars tend to like to use coasters over and over for days on end. And Lord knows what's been on the bar during those days.
How many people sneezed or talked and spittle came out?
Yeah. How much bacteria is on those coasters, you know? So please grab a fresh napkin and put it over your cocktail glass or your beer glass or whatever. But don't infect yourself by putting a scummy, scrubby coaster up over on your cocktail.
I hadn't really thought of that because I'm not a smoker, but I see people do it all the time.
Yeah.
Brr.
Yeah, if I get up and go to the bathroom, I just put my hat over mine.
That's not a problem at all. I'm sure that hat's been everywhere,
too. Ain't no bacteria in that thing. My hand's perfectly pure. I wash with that peppermint soap every morning. You know,
yes, but you know what? You put that hat on counters and things like that. I see it all the time.
Oh, yeah, but not the head part.
Oh,
I see. Inside of the head part.
Like the glass would wear the hat.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So you'd be amusing people.
Then
at
if
the
somebody
same
tried to steal my hat, they'd spill a drink all over themselves.
Yeah. Oh, good idea. Because I've noticed a lot of people trying to get that hat away from you. All right, it's time to wrap up the April show. Thank you for joining us for this month. If you're not already a subscriber to our online magazine, it's free to do so. Just visit seattledining.com and click on subscribe free.
All right, want you to dine out often, dine safe, dine well. Have a great Easter meal wherever it is that you go, and we'll meet you back here in May for Cinco de Mayo ideas.
Thanks for listening to another edition of the Seattle Dining Show. This program is a copyrighted production of Mix Media and may not be reproduced in part or in whole without written permission of the legal owner, all right? However, feel free to share the link with all your friends on Facebook. Studio equipment for this broadcast was purchased locally at American Music of Fremont Icon. The views and opinions expressed on this show are exclusive to the hosts and guests and do not reflect those of former employees of Bill the Butcher, the Surrogate Hostess, the Beeline Diner, Louie's Chinese Cuisine, the Doghouse, the 5 Mile House, Charlie's, the Twin Teepees, Ocean Air, Benjamin's, the Madison Park Cafe, or any other lost Seattle icon. Subscribe free to our monthly magazine online at seattledining.com and join us next time for another edition of the Seattle Dining Show.